Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence, and we ask that your written word may be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and then your glory our supreme concern. Amen. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but some tasks seem very impossible. So if you've seen the Mission Impossible films, where Special Agent Ethan Hunt, who's played by Tom Cruise, he engages in a number of near impossible tasks in order to save the world. And each film begins with a recorded message or task, should you choose to accept it. And by the end of the film, he does what seems impossible, and everyone is saved. But here in our true story from the Bible, the Lord Jesus tells his apostles how he will do something that is impossible. He says here how he will spread the message about who he is and what he's done for all sorts of people across the world, even when he isn't physically present to do it. And we're going to see what that means for us. Today we're learning from this Bible passage that we had read earlier, and it's there in Acts chapter 1 on page 1092 of the Church Bibles, and I think it'd be helpful to have it open in front of us as we look at it and learn from the Bible together. Just have a look at those opening verses, at verses 1 and 2, where Luke writes, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen." In other words, what Luke is telling Theophilus, his reader, is that he's written two books. And what we think as we think about the first in the Gospels, in Luke's Gospel, what we read about there is we discover who Jesus is, that he's both fully God and fully man. So Luke tells us of Jesus' birth, and then we begin to see how Jesus began his ministry, telling people that he'd come to save them. And then Luke tells us of the signs, the miracles that Jesus did, and they were amazing. And these miracles restored what had been lost. In other words, they pointed to the kind of kingdom that Jesus is bringing, which is a kingdom that's going to restore things. So Jesus made the dead people come back to life. Jesus made the very sick people well with a word, or by touching them. Jesus fed a huge crowd of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And there were more scraps of food left over at the end than there had been loaves and fish to start with. And that's amazing, for God, only God can make something out of nothing. And then Jesus walked on water to people who were in peril to save them. And again, only God can do that. And what Jesus taught his followers is that he was bringing God's restorative kingdom, and in order for that kingdom to come in fullness, he would suffer, die, and rise again. But they didn't understand this. And now the religious leaders then didn't really believe Jesus either. They didn't believe that Jesus was God and man, and that he'd come to bring this kingdom, and so they plotted together to kill him. And Jesus said he'd die on the cross and 3 days later be raised from the dead. And 3 days after he died on the cross, he was raised from the dead. And then after that, Jesus spent 40 days telling his friends, the apostles, how they would spread the good news about him. So Luke's gospel is all about what Jesus began to do. But did you notice, as he says there in verse 1, what Luke is now doing is to tell us all about what Jesus continues to do, even after he leaves earth. And that's what the second book, Acts, is all about, what Jesus continues to do even after he went up to heaven. Now, in these verses, we learn a number of important things about Jesus, and we learn something important from what Jesus says and from what he does. So what does Jesus say? Jesus says first that God has a special plan for the whole world. God has a special plan for the whole world. Now, in the 40 days after Jesus was raised, but before he went back to heaven, Jesus taught the disciples about God's coming kingdom. And although he taught them clearly, they didn't understand everything straight away. So, for example, if you look at verse 6, Look at the question they ask him there. So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And I guess what's happening here is that the disciples think that the kingdom of God was all about Israel becoming a big, rich, and powerful country. But Jesus says that God's plan for people is very different to that. And it's much bigger than that. God's plan is for all people everywhere. God's plan is not just for Jews, but for non-Jews too. So just have a look at verse 7, he says. There, he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." In other words, it's not about Israel becoming rich and powerful and big and important, but God's got a great big plan, a very big plan. It's actually a plan for every people, for all people, everyone, everywhere. And God's plan is there, according to verse 8, for those who live at the very ends of the earth. In other words, God has a plan for people who've never heard of God, who made the world. He has a plan for those people who don't understand the God who is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and has sent God the Son to die on the cross for them. But what is God's plan? What is it about? Well, the second big thing that Jesus says is God's special plan is about Jesus. God's special plan is about Jesus. Just look again at verse 8. When he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." Now here, in verse 8, Jesus is like God, who in the Old Testament appointed prophets or messengers to speak for him. And God would do that in the Old Testament to show to announce what he was going to do. But here, what Jesus does is appoints the apostles in a special role to speak about him. So Jesus says that these apostles are going to be my witnesses. They're going to be witnesses to Jesus. And that term witness is a term taken from the law court. In other words, the apostles fundamentally are going to speak the truth about Jesus. Now these apostles have seen Jesus' life, they've heard his teaching, they'd seen him suffer, and they'd met with him after he'd been raised. And they would be able to explain that Jesus had died so that we can be forgiven. And that's fundamentally what people need to hear to be saved. And it's the same for us today. People need to hear about Jesus today. And Jesus says, until he returns, he, Jesus, who he is, what he's done, is at the center of God's plans for people everywhere in the world. So God has a special plan for the world, and God's special plan is about Jesus. And we might think that the apostles must be very special men with very special abilities if they're going to speak about Jesus everywhere. But no, Jesus says, and a third important thing he says, is that the Spirit will make it happen. The Spirit will make it happen. Just look again at verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The reason that God's special plan about Jesus will reach the ends of the earth, and the reason that so many people are going to follow Jesus, is not because the apostles were bold. It's not because the apostles were well organized. It's not because the apostles were brilliant speakers. No, the reason they're going to speak about Jesus and the people at the far ends of the earth would hear about him is because God would make it happen. Now, I know that some people worry about the Holy Spirit, and what we have to say very kindly is that the Holy Spirit isn't a force like electricity. No, he is a person. He is God. And the Holy Spirit fundamentally is like Jesus. He's powerful, loving, kind, and caring. And Jesus sends his Spirit to live inside us and help us to follow him. His Spirit helps us wherever we are. The Spirit helps us to know that Jesus is with us, he helps us to follow Jesus, and he helps us to tell others about Jesus. He also helps us to pray. And Jesus says that he would give the apostles his Spirit. So, in other words, God is going to make this plan happen. So do you see what Jesus is saying about God's great plan? It won't be human power at work. No, it's God's plan, and the message about his Son will go out to all people everywhere, and God will make it possible, because God is going to be at work through them. Now, we may ask at this point, is it all true? Will it really happen? Maybe Jesus' apostles heard it, and it sounded like them to them like Mission Impossible. And perhaps it was Mission Impossible for them to stay in Jerusalem, where there are lots of people who hated Jesus and would kill them, or try to kill them. But let's just think about what happens next. Just have a look at verse 9. After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So in verse 9, what Jesus does is to go up into heaven, he ascends. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, it showed that, when Jesus was raised on Easter Day, that it showed that death had no hold on Jesus. And it also shows that Jesus is God's King. He's the Messiah who paid for our sins. That's what the resurrection shows. But the ascension shows that Jesus, who is God's King and God's Son, is now restored to his rightful place at the right hand of the Father. And that means that there's no one more important to him. And in other words, what he says is get goes. So what does this passage mean for us? Well, the first thing, for every single one of us and for us as a church, what it says is the most important thing is Jesus. See, the most important thing is not really the clothes we wear, or the clothes we wear in church. The most important thing is not fundraising. The most important thing is not the music we play. The most important thing is not social action. All of these things are important in their own ways, but that's not what we're here for. No, Jesus is the reason we're here. Now, maybe as you listen, that's not really true of you. Maybe you think that maybe Jesus and what he's done for you by dying on the cross is not actually the biggest thing in your life. But it ought to be, and it needs to be, and that you need to be saved. And if you're not really sure whether the good news about Jesus is true, well, trust the Bible. Trust the Bible. The Bible is written so that you can be sure. Read this book, and as you read it, ask God for his Holy Spirit to make you sure. Now, the second thing is if we are following Jesus, then actually, if he's the most important person in our life, then the second implication is we'll want others to come to Jesus. We want everybody to hear about him, to hear the good news of how they can be saved by his death on the cross. We'll want our family and friends and the people we work with and everybody here to know Jesus. But of course it won't stop there, will it? Jesus said that the good news about him was to go to the ends of the earth. If Jesus is our King, we will want people everywhere to hear about him. How will it happen? We'll pray and we'll speak. And we'll pray and keep praying for our families and friends and our work colleagues to have receptive hearts to hear about Jesus, even as we speak to them about him. We'll also pray for our mission partners, the Bedfords in Scotland, the Oranges in Belgium, for Catherine Hindley at Birmingham City Mission, because their work is important. We'll pray for them and we'll raise money for their work and we'll be bothered about them. If it's really important to Jesus, and there's no one more important than Jesus, that people come to know him, then it must be important to us too, if we're his followers. Just have a look at verse 10 and see what happens there. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who's been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way that you've seen him go into heaven. See, whatever the apostles were feeling at the point when they looked at Jesus disappearing in front of their eyes as he was taken up to heaven, the angels say to Jesus, friends, Jesus is coming back. So you need to get on with what he said. Are you getting on, you disciples, getting on with it? Sometimes we may feel that the good news of going to the ends of the earth and people being saved is mission impossible for us. And it is for us. We can't do it by ourselves. But God can do it. See, with God, it's not mission impossible, but mission unstoppable. He is very powerful. And the good news has reached us, and we should be thankful for that. And if we've put our trust in Jesus, then we have the Holy Spirit, and he will help us to follow Jesus. And as we pray for people to come to know Jesus, and as we speak to them about Jesus, he will help us, and he will spread the good news about him. As we sit, let's bow our heads and pray. Be my witnesses. Father, we thank you that you are powerful and that you can do what is impossible for us by ourselves. We thank you that the great news about Jesus has spread to us. We thank you that the Lord Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sin. We thank you that if we're trusting in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in us and helps us to tell the good news. Please help us to be excited about telling others about Jesus. And please help us to tell others about him even this week, for your name's sake. Amen.